Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, Sunday morning, May 12th. We're not speaking on
22nd day of the Omer, which is 3 weeks.
22nd day of the Omer.
22nd day, which is 3 weeks.
And 1 day.
And 1 day. In the Omer.
Okay. Engage.
Engage. Okay. No, we're good. We're good. So since today, there's a Jewish holiday, American holiday called Mother's Day. So in honor of Mother's Day, someone said that her Mother's Day present was her husband let her come to the shir this morning. So that was a new take on Mother's Day. Just a part which sort of relates to the shir, but it was a part we got a lot of mileage out of. So there's a machloket in America about celebrating Mother's Day. You know the machloket? Right? What's shitat chachamim? Not everyone holds for Mother's Day. What do wise men say? Chachamim, shitat chachamim is that every day is Mother's Day. Okay, now there's Rabbi Hallmark. Okay. And what's his shita?
One day a year.
He holds healed one day, but it's like it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. You can't miss Mother's Day. Now, how do we paskin in America? We go by Rabbi Hallmark or by Chachamim? No, we're machmir, aren't we? We're machmir, and we keep both opinions. And mikra adin, every day is Mother's Day. But to make sure that every day is Mother's Day, we celebrate Mother's Day. That's the idea? Not mistaken the yom, mikra adin. It's kedusha richta. It's the whole thing. So the So what I want to use that to explain what you said at the Seder with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Yeah. Remember what he said? No, he didn't understand why we say Yitzhak at night, which he was asking. Well, he was basically asking, what's this obsession with every day and every night? You know, I got the point once a year, once a day, but every day and every night. And then he quotes the Pasuk. There's Rebbe told him, just look in Chumash. Remember? What Ben Zoma told him as a student, saying, you're looking like this and like this, just read Chumash. And what's it say? And that's where he says, Shmar Chodesh Aviv, V'Seita Pesach Hashem Elokecha, and Ben Dvarim. And then when you eat, bring Korban Pesach in Aviv, eat matzah for 7 days, no chametz allowed. Why? The reason we go crazy once a year is to make sure I remember it every day. Got that? So we're reading it like legalists, looking at the word kol. But the main thing is that pasuk in its wider context. And that's a classic example of a beautiful explanation where you read it legalistically, like technically. Oh, the word kol. But they're missing the main point. The main point, as we're saying, is the main mitzvah of remembering the Exodus is a daily commandment, not a yearly commandment. And a yearly commandment is only there to make sure the daily commandment is meaningful. Because once a year I have to recharge my batteries. And we're going to see that theme in Sefer Dvarim, where Sefer Dvarim is going to use the memory of the Exodus as a way of life. That's going to guide your behavior. I'm sure we've talked about that lots of times. How remembering the Exodus is going to be a motivator for good behavior. And the way you serve God is by how you treat your fellow man, because everyone's B'Tselem Elokim. And because that memory is so critical to your day-to-day life, that's why once a year I got to go mishugah about it. So if you take the same analogy, we celebrate Mother's Day once a year to recharge our batteries to make sure that every day is Mother's Day out of appreciation. And not just remembering that she takes care of you, but also why she puts so much time, you have something to keep going. So that was just in honor of Mother's Day. Now we can start the regular shir. What I want to do basically is understand the real goal of this shir, which is something relatively new, is to understand the connection between Dvarim and the other books of Chumash. And I'll explain something interesting in Chumash. But also, what's the chiddush of the holidays in Sefer, in Chumash in general, but especially in Sefer Shemot? So we'll start with basics. Where's the first time in Chumash we have Shalosh Regalim? The Mishpatim. I'm assuming everyone knows that. It's nice and simple. So open up with the first time. And again, I want to review something which I'm sure everyone knows, is that the Shalosh Regalim in Chumash have everything to do with agriculture and almost nothing to do with history, except maybe the first one. Now, it's the way they're presented in Chumash, even if there were no historical events, even if we didn't go out of Egypt in the spring, and even if the Torah wasn't given in Sivan, and even if we went right to Israel and didn't have to stay in the desert at all, there'd still be a reason to have a Chag Aviv, there'd be a reason to have Chag Katzir, and a reason to have a Chag Asif. Understand? Because those are critical times of the agricultural year, and anyone who knows agriculture in Israel is aware of that, and we've done that show before many times. But what I want to share with you is what's the big chiddush in Parshat Mishpatim and how it relates to where it's located. Now again, Perek Chaf Gimel in Sefer Shmot. And one last Kidon question. Oh, Terry, you missed the Mother's Day part. I'll have to go for it later. It was actually for Gail, not for...
Sorry?
There was a Mother's Day part that...
Mother's Day,
yeah. We'll do a Chazara later. So take a look in Perek Chaf Gimel. And just one quiz question, because this is Chidon season. How many times does it say Shalosh Regalim in Chumash? What? Shalosh Regalim? You think three times, but not three times. Does it ever say Shalosh Regalim? No. In davening, we say Shalosh Pamim Bashana. That's cute. Yeah, that's what I want to get to. By Bilam and Donkey. So the donkey says, why'd you hit me Shalosh Regalim? I think it's one of the... Chumash is sometimes plays game. I think they have, Chumash has a sense of humor sometimes.
Why aren't you serious?
So the like Tzon Lavan is a good one. No, Yaakov is watching Tzon Lavan. He's taking care of Lavan's white sheep. Remember? But it's Lavan's white sheep. Remember, he does them, but he gets the vladot, but the white sheep belong to Lavan. You know, with the whole stuff. But they belong to Lavan. So calling them Tzon Lavan is really. But there's better ones. Now, back to Perek Chaf Gimel. So the first time they're introduced, they're called Shalosh Regalim. It's Chaf Gimel Yedalad. See that? Shalosh Regalim Tachuk Di Bashana at Chag HaMatzot. Now, you keep it 7 days, like I commanded you, but when? The Mo'ed Chodesh Aviv, because that's when you went out of Egypt. But then the next two holidays clearly put what we call Chag HaMatzot in the realm of a agricultural holiday, because then we have Chag HaKatzir, that's your harvest holiday, your grain harvest, and the Chag HaSif B'Seit HaShana, which is the end of the agricultural season, when you have your fruit harvest, when you gather what you've done from the field. Now, why is grain harvest called Katzir, and why is fruit harvest called Asif? Because how do you get grain? You have to cut it down. And how do you get fruit? Well, you can pick it from the tree in the beginning of the season, but by the end of the season, it falls on its own, and then you have to gather it. And hence the words, Katzir Nasit. How come here it's not called Shavuot?
It didn't
happen yet. It didn't happen yet. But it's after Matan Torah. No, why can't I call the holiday here Shavuot? Why can't I call it Sukkot? Hey, there's no need to. Correct? There's no need to call it that. But for some reason... What?
It's not why you can't, why you don't.
You didn't get the mitzvah on here yet, did
you? There's no way I can call it Shavuot until I explain Shiva Shavuot Tispor Lach. Until I explain that to count 7 weeks, if I say celebrate a grain harvest holiday, and I know my agricultural calendar, I know what to do and when to celebrate it. If I say celebrate the holiday of weeks, I have no idea when to do it, why to do it, and why it's called weeks. There's no meaning to calling the holiday weeks until I explain about counting weeks. Agreed? I can't call the holiday, I can't even call it Sukkot without an explanation. But for sure I can't call this, there's no point in calling it Shavuot. Now, in a minute I'm going to ruin what I just said. Because my claim is, there's no point in calling the holiday Shavuot until I explain it. Yeah.
Is the agricultural seasons in Egypt the same as those?
No, that's Moshe's speech. It's totally different.
How can call it Chag HaKatzir? How can the Torah use... No, things like that, because the people who are coming out
they know what Katzir is, but they know harvest, they know the harvest in Egypt. In Egypt they harvested wheat, for sure. That's the biggest grain in Egypt. But in Egypt, there's several crops here. It's like the Midwest, because there's a river, like the Mississippi, there's lots of water, there's sun all year long. Remember, the two gods of Egypt are the Nile and the sun, because that's how you get grain, and that's why chametz, that's why leaven and bread is a symbol of Egypt, and that's why when I have to remember I'm rejecting, remember if I'm thanking God for my redemption, I have to remember you have to be worthy of redemption, and that was partial echo remote. You have to set up a better society, and we had it last yesterday also.
But the Jews wouldn't know when Chag HaKatzir is. They know there is such a thing as
Pesach. But they'll find it.
They won't know that until they get it.
Which is a couple weeks from now. In other words, I'm telling you, when you have your grain harvest, celebrate it. I don't need to have a date here. You'll figure it out on your own when you get there. Once you get there, you'll know what the agriculture is. I'm assuming there's also a basic knowledge of the different countries in the area. I'm assuming that they're, at least the leadership is aware. Listen, Moshe explains to them in Sefer Devarim that the land of Egypt is different than, the Canaan is different than Egypt, because it's a different type of how you plant your fields, with water and rain. But even if they don't know yet what the schedule is going to be, when they get there, they'll find out within a couple of weeks.
In Devarim, they're very close to Eretz Yisrael, so they've experienced...
Okay, so we'll see in a minute. They're just as close to Eretz Yisrael and Shemot as they are in Devarim. We'll get there. We'll explain. That's going to be the main point of the share today.
Sure.
Thanks.
These people know that agricultural festivals, right?
They don't know when
to do it. But they don't know when to do it. That's why there's no point in a date. They'll find out what the season is when they get there. They're saying when you have a chakat, in theory, I could have five chakatsirs if there's five seasons. It makes sense that there's no date. Because there's no point in a lunar date or month date, other than the fact that you'll see when you get to the land of Israel, there'll be this Aviv in the spring. Now, there was a solar calendar in Egypt. And there is a spring. I'm assuming there's a big festival in Egypt when the Nile reaches its highest point. It's if you go to Tzipori, there's a big mosaic floor there. So there's a big mosaic of the measuring the Nile. And it always came out, the big celebration was always in the spring, because that's when the Nile is highest, because that's when the most rains are in Ethiopia. And that's at the same time of year where the constellation is going to be some lamb up there in the sky. Yeah, that's why they have Chodesh. That's like the lamb. That's why. Isn't there a lamb in one of the zodiac things?
Yeah.
So they talk about Chodesh Aviv being the zodiac of the lamb, and that might be one of the reasons for Korban Pesach, but that's it's a cute theory. But I want to get to our topic. We're going to get to your question from Doreen in a minute. That would be key.
Why was it important at this point to tell them that there theoretically will be a Chag Chatzir?
Okay, perfect. Okay. Your question is exactly my next point. Where do we find these laws in Parshat Mishpatim? Or in general, what's happening in Sefer Shemot? In Sefer Shemot, we're coming out of Egypt, we're being redeemed, we enter a covenant to be God's people in Parshat Yitro, and we say yes, we accept God's covenant to be His people, we receive the contract, we call what you guys call the Ten Commandments, Chumash calls the Ten Statements, about the basic principle, I'm your boss, you can't work for anybody else, you're carrying my name, don't do a lousy job, Shabbat is your weekly reminder, keep tradition going, and then bathe properly and don't even think about things that lead to murder and adultery and things like that. Then, after that, Moshe goes up, on the same day, Moshe goes up a little higher, and God tells him a set of laws that he comes down and tells him the same day, what we call Parsha Mishpatim, and it's a sampling of Jewish law. It's like a little seminar of what Jewish law is about. And that's Perek Chaf Aleph through Perek Chaf Gimel. It's called the Kotomar unit. Just take a quick look at it, just to make sure, refresh your memories. Again, I'm assuming you're familiar with this. It's fun to refresh your memory to make sure you'll understand the main point. At the end of Perek Chaf in Shemot, remember, you have the Ten Commandments, and then the people get scared and they want Moshe to be the middleman. That takes you to Pasuk Yotet. Now that Moshe is the middleman, what happens in Pasuk Yotet? God tells Moshe, "Kol tomar b'nei Yisrael, atem ritem ki min ha-shamayim dibarti mechem, lo tasuniti." Moshe now receives a set of laws from God, but he's supposed to tell the people. Got it? God tells Moshe, "Kol tomar b'nei Yisrael, dot, 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 dot. God here starts talking to Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Yotet with a set of laws that continues all the way to the end of Perek Chaf Gimel. Understand? Three chapters of laws, from the end of Perek Chaf to the end of Perek Chaf Gimel. Mostly laws and a little promise at the end. That's going to be a unit of the Bezvas HaChumashim here.
You need to. There'll
be a whole set of laws, which you're familiar with. But that law section divides into two distinct groups. The first half of laws are for lawyers. It's called jurisprudence or torts or something like that. I call it souped-up Hammurabi law. In other words, we take the basic concept of Hammurabi code, which was well-known in the ancient... Chumash, when Am Yisrael comes out of Egypt, they're familiar with other cultures. They're familiar with law codes. And they're not coming out in a vacuum. Chumash is taking what they have and using it as a platform to develop its theology and its law system. And you're familiar with these cases. Here's the cases you're familiar with. Now here's the psak of Din Torah. Is what's going to be similar, will be there'll be a striking similarity of cases, of case law. Remember, that's the key word, remember it's key. And but the conclusion is going to be very different than Hammurabi, especially in relation to how I treat slaves or second and third class citizens, because everyone's equal under the law, which is the principle of Ein Tachat Ein. It's because in Hammurabi law, it isn't Ein Tachat Ein. It depends on who you are. It's a function of your social status and not of what you did. But it doesn't mean you take out the eye for the eye, but it's the principle that everyone's equal, kezrach kager, all the way through. Now, we have a whole set of laws that Chazal understand as principles. Therefore, how does Masechet Nezikin begin? What's the first mission of Masechet Nezikin? Masechet Nezikin has three gates. Remember? That's people remember Baba Kama is Masechet Nezikin. It's so big, it's got three gates. You know why they're called gates? Why are they called gates? Above it is a gate. What? Because the judges sit at the gates. Shotrim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha. So all the laws that go to judges, to show, isn't choshe mishmat?
Can't say that about Tosef on Kaman.
What?
Can't say that about Tosef on
Kaman. No, I said Masechet Avot.
Yeah,
the Tosef. No, that's Avot. Those are principles also. I'll give you a better example. What's the last Masechet in Ezekiel? No, in Ezekiel? The last Masechet in Ezekiel? In Seder in Ezekiel. No, in Seder, no, in the whole Seder of the thing. Is what you call, is it Pirkei Avot? Is it Pirkei Avot or Avot? What? Isn't Avot at the end?
No, it's
Avot. Okay, but Avot is towards the end, isn't it? Okay, next to last, okay. But Avot, people call it Pirkei Avot, don't they? Because they call it Ethics of Our Fathers. But it's not called Pirkei Avot, it's called Avot. And Nezikin begins with Avot and ends with Avot. What? That's right, because what Chumash understand, the law about Kigach Shor Ish or Kiftach Ish Bor are not laws, they're principles. That's what they're saying. That this law section is not laws, these are principles. I derive principles, and then how do I psak halakha? No, how do I decide? I learn all the principles, and then apply those principles to every situation. In every generation, as things come up, and that's what the rabbis do, that's called halakha. And that tradition of psak halakha, we call halakha. Right? We don't call it law. You know why we call it halakha? You read about it? No, achrimot. Et mishpaita atzu lalechet behem. And hitalech lefanei v'yatamin brit milah. You walk with God. How do you walk with God? Chumash is a book of principles that teach you how to walk with God. So therefore, when I apply those principles to day-to-day life, the psak, but the mishpat is called halakha, which Chumash never calls it halakha, right? But lashon chachamim is right on the mark. Calling it halakha is meaning what I'm telling you to do is how you walk with God, and how do you drive the halakha? You don't open up Chumash and Paskin, but the rabbis opened up Chumash, learned principles, and then apply those principles. Isn't that's the beginning of the second Ezekiel, isn't it? They say that bor is a principle and shor is a principle. And then they try to drive, what is the principle? And how come I need four principles and how they interact with each other? Now, the last Masechet is also principles, not about jurisprudence, but rather about day-to-day life. And the rabbis, based on their study, share with you their principles about Ashol Shadvar Ma'olam Amed. Remember? They're giving you principles of their how they view life. And that's why it ends with Avot. But Avot about more ethical behavior and about ways of life. So I think it's cute that they call Avot in the beginning. Why did I say that? Because most of Parshat Mishpatim are principles. But most of the laws are Bein Adam L'Chaviro. That's clear. It's about day-to-day life. Except for the opening law, which is about what? The very first law is about how to serve God on a Mizbeach, how not to serve God. Remember? I don't need fancy golden things. Remember? It says, Lo Tasuni Elecha Sebeleizav. Don't serve me with gold. We don't need all that. Keep it simple. Mizbeach Adama Taseli. You have to bring a thing, but keep it simple. I don't need fancy, you know, fancy stuff. Now, I think Aaron misunderstood this and thinking, it's like speaking of Mother's Day, I don't need jewelry. Which is what he's saying, but you know, if you want to bring, you know, you don't have to, but you can. And therefore, what's Aaron do? Oh, let's make something really nice for God. And say, give me your jewelry. And work. I think he understood it not as an isor. That's just a joke for Mother's Day. But it's not a joke. I mean, I think Aaron meant well, but that's a share on Chet HaEgel. But I think they heard Lo Tasun Alechasa Belei Zahav. I think they understood it as keep it simple. He misunderstood it maybe, because Moshe didn't come and explain it yet. But they learned the hard way. That's life. That's how you learn to ride a bicycle. What?
It's got to be a function of whether you're Rashi or Rambam.
For sure, yeah. No, no, everyone holds that, when the Chetek will happen. No, when the Mishkan happened. Okay. Now, let's go back to... After that, there's all these laws, but there's two clear sections of law. The first one is what we call Mishpatim or Choshe Mishpat. That takes you to the middle of Perachaf, to the middle of Perachabet, to Chabet Pasuk Yotet. There's all, it's all case law, case after case after case. And in Chabet Yotet, we break from the case law, and we have a delimiter law of Bein Adam Lamakom, Sovech La Elohim Yochoram Beotid Hashem Lavadon. And then in Pasuk Chaf in Perachabet, we begin a whole ethical section that begins with what law? Begir lo, lo tonev lo techetzena, ki ger meitem beretz Mitzrayim, kol manav begir yotam lo ta'anun. And then who's going to, no longer does this go to Beitin, God's going to, it could be legally you're okay. You can legally oppress somebody. Ask any lawyer. And you can take advantage of people and it can all be legal. But don't do that on purpose. And even though court can't punish you for that, God will punish you for that. And then there's simply law after law about lending money and not taking rebate and things like that, not taking shochad. Most of the rest of Perachabet and from the beginning of Perachab Gimel are all laws of Ben Amachadero, but they're an ethical code that goes from don't be rotten and be kind and go out of your way and return lost items and things like that. And then what's the conclusion of that? That's going to be Perachab Gimel Pasuk Tet, and there's an envelope structure. How's it end? The ger lo techatz. Remember, batem yedatem and nefesh ager ki ger meitem beretz Mitzrayim. Also, I want to point out is that the second section of law. First, I have my ancient Near Eastern law recalibrated. Look at that. And then I have what's special about being Jewish. Not everything goes to the court system. There's a God above, and He has expectations from you. And because I wasn't found guilty, doesn't mean just because the report didn't say you're guilty, doesn't mean you're a tzaddik. Okay? No, no examples from politics. Okay. No, the. Then I slowly go back to Ben Adam Lamakom. What's the next law? We have six. We have the Shemitah cycle. But what's the reason here for Shemitah? We have cycles of seven. We have Shemitah laws. The reason for Shemitah here is what? The Achlu Evyonei Amecha. It's for a social reason. It's a law Ben Adam Lamakom, but it has a framework of Ben Adam Lachaviro. What's the reason now for Shabbat in Pasuk Yudbet? In Pasuk in Yudbet, right? That's just like the Ten Commandments in Devarim now. Shabbat being the Hebrew workers a day of rest. This is the place to teach it, right? In Bergen County? Where you have blue laws? It's a day that everyone deserves a day of rest. That's a law now, just like Devarim. It's not to remember God created, but to remember everyone deserves a day of rest. But just like the Ten Commandments in Devarim has it. And then, so again, it's a law Ben Adam Makom, but it has an element of Ben Adam Chaviro. And then we get to the Shalosh Regalim in Pasuk Yedaled. And that ends the law section, because in Pasuk Chaf, God's saying, I'm about to bring you to the land of Israel, make sure to follow my laws, and I'll help you conquer the land. That's Amir Shalech Malach. And all the blessings, if you follow my laws, what will happen if you don't follow my laws? But you're about to go into Israel, because had they not sinned with Chet Egel, we would have gone to Israel within a couple of weeks. There's no reason to hang out in the desert. If we accepted God, accepted His covenant, we're goody-goody students. We got straight A's, and we're all motivated. There's no reason to hang around the desert. We'll see, there's no reason to build a Mishkan yet. We could just wait a couple weeks and build a Mikdash. Now, again, Parsha Mishpatim has those two units. Is it clear? But it's primarily Ben Adam Lachaviro. It's a set of laws that come part and parcel with the Ten Commandments, that actually follow the overall framework of the Ten Commandments. A lot of Parshim talk about that. It begins with Ben Adam Lamakom, ends with Ben Adam Lamakom, with Ben Adam Lachaviro inside. Now, what is the Ben Adam Lamakom law that concludes the whole unit? Shalosh Regalim. Got that? And what do we do on the Shalosh Regalim? When do we celebrate them? On the critical times of the agricultural year. In the Aviv, and we correlate that with the time of year we left Egypt. We have our grain harvest, and we have our fruit harvest at the end of the season. We don't have lunar dates because there's no point in a lunar date. They're agricultural dates. And as I mentioned, we might only find out about it once we get in the land. Now, What do we do on the holidays? What's it say to do? There's only one mitzvah here. What do we do on the holidays? You go to be seen by God. You don't go to see God. Why can't you go to see God? You can't see Him, but you go to be seen by God. We joke around, it's like going to shul. You go to be seen. No.
That's Tasha. Okay.
No. And that ends the law unit. We're good? No. What? No, yeah, thanks. What I want to point out is Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel, I think, is the most important line to understand the transition and why it ends with these laws. Look at Pasuk Yud Gimel now, right before Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'chol asher amarti etchem tishameru. What's that mean? That's a summary, isn't it? Everything I just told you, the last three chapters about how to behave, make sure to keep them. And in addition to that, the shame, Elohim, not Elohim, Elohim acherim lo tazkiru. Don't you dare mention the name of, like, Voldemort. You can't mention his name of any other god, right? Lo yishlam apicha, don't even talk about him. Got it? Instead, shalosh shogadim tochok libashanah. What gods are we talking about? The agricultural gods you're bound to bump into in Israel, because in Canaan, there's a rain god. We don't have a Nile god, but we have a rain god. He's Baal. We have a fertility god, Asherah. We have grain gods. And it's only natural that people follow the gods of nature, because that's how nature's perceived. And when I need rain, I'm going to pray for rain to the rain god. When I need, you know, grain, there's some powers above my control. I can do my ishtalis. I haven't planted my field, but there's only so much I can do. I need Baal to bring rain, and I need Asherah to make sure the grain grows. I need to make sure that the wind god doesn't come and ruin things. Right? And I got to pray those gods at the right time of the year. How do I pray to them? I bring them sacrifices. That's how things do. What's Chumash saying? During those critical times of the year, I want you in my office. Because if you weren't coming to me, you'd be going to somebody else. And what's it telling you? It's telling you, basically, don't serve the Canaanite gods, serve our gods. But what's more important here is that transition. Everything I told you, it's referring to all the ethical laws, and here comes, in my opinion, the biggest chiddush. It's not just the belief that there aren't many gods, there's one God. How is this often misunderstood? What's the chiddush here? You need to know that there aren't many gods, there's only one God. And by you recognizing there's one God who's in charge of everything, it appears to be many gods, but it's really one God. If you recognize that and declare that your belief in one God, then I'll bless your grain. Because God wants belief. And that's why I want to struggle. That's why I want to disagree with. Right? That's not the main point. The main point, that's a key point. The main point is not that there's only one God, that this one and only God who you're working for, your agriculture will be a function of your behavior. That's a new religion. That's like revolutionary in any religion. And that's what, remember you asked the question, why are these laws at the end of Mishpatim? I don't have all Tariag Mitzvot in Parshat Mishpatim, I have a sampling of law. But one of the most important points of Judaism, what's revolutionary about this new nation, is that not just the belief in one God, but the understanding that how that God gives you sustenance and takes care of your agriculture and puts food on your table and helps you is a function of your actions. Don't you realize how revolutionary that is? Because if there's a rain god, I just have to... Ancient people treated gods like humans. Because how do you get... Let's say you have somebody you need on your side. Let's say you need a political... what do? You bribe them. Not bribe them, you give them presents. You invite them for Shabbos. You love what he called. You see how good you praise them for what they wrote, and op-ed they wrote. You talk about how cute his kids are and things like that. You butter them up, and then with the hope that they'll come and help you. What Chumash is saying is it's not by bringing sacrifices to God that's going to make the difference. What makes the difference? V'chol asher metchem tishameru. That whole list of laws I just told you about behavior, based on that I'm going to give you rain. Now, you talked about it about an hour ago in shul. What did you say in the second parsha of Kriyat Shema? We take that so much for granted, we don't realize how revolutionary that is in religion. Again, it's not just the belief in one God that makes a difference. It's how you build your society, you relate that to God. Now, in philosophy, the fact that there's one God in charge of the system, that enables this idea that it can be based on your behavior. Because if there's many gods, each god takes care of his own office. You know, if you want something, there's no Rosh Hashanah, there's only Sarim. Like, if you want something done in the government, who do you go to? You go to the minister. If I need funding for my yeshiva, I go to the minister. But there is no Rosh Yeshiva. There's no Rosh Hashanah. But if there's really Rosh Hashanah who really has power, then the minister is simply, you know, he's just a shaliach. And why waste my time with the minister? Go right to the prime minister.
We talk direct.
Yeah. unless you're a chassid. Unless you're a capitalist. I'm sorry. And most of it...
Don't push that.
Okay. In politics, we're a capitalist, aren't we? We go to the our rep. We go, yeah. Now, so that's my point about how the holidays are presented, and that I think is something which we don't pay attention to. But I'm trying to explain why these shalosh regalim, where they're located, why they're located is the conclusion of the whole section, and it has to do with the fact that as soon as I get the Ten Commandments and accept to be God's people, the main set of laws is about the society I build. Baseline. We're going to be no worse than existing law codes in societies like Hammurabi law or ancient Eastern law. I'm going to make that a bit better. And in addition to a regular Chosha Mishpat system of law, there's also be Yoredeah. There'll also be laws about not taking interest and taking care of other people, and basically social justice laws. And not in the sense of it's a good idea, but rather you have to. Remember? Remember there's three keys that are chiyuv, that are not rishut and chova? Im kesef tavi atami. Means you can't, in regular, you can't obligate somebody to pay, to give a loan. But chumash obligates you. I can't take a debate thing, but God's watching. Now, in light of that, we have to see how we celebrate the holidays. Everyone with me? No. Now I'm going to ruin my share. Because what happens, then we have chet ego, and the whole contract is all messed up. We have to renegotiate the contract. And after we get the second luchot that comes with Minot Torah Chamim, we're going to have a repeat of laws. What parsha is that? We read it on Thursdays, don't we? In Kitisa. You read it? We read it in Yamta, don't we? Look in Kitisa, in Perek Ramadalad. First look in Pasuk Chet, to make sure, or Pasuk Vav, Vavzayim Chet is the Minot Torah Chamim in the second luchot. We're all familiar. Lamedalid. Did we have there? Yeah, pasuk chet. I mean, vav zayin chet is the shosh, is the yigdim midot, and then Moshe asks in pasuk tet, "Imnam atzadchem benechi yilech nashem bekibenu, even though we're amkshe oref, and forgive us." And God says, "Okay, I'll make a brit with you," and He repeats some laws. Now, the laws He's repeating, starting with pasuk yiralef. I'm going to help you conquer the land again, but make sure when you go in not to follow the other gods, because if you do real Avodah Zarah, then I'm going to still have Birat Adin, I'll be in Elkanah, and there's the warning against Avodah Zarah, and then we go right to the holidays and Pasuk Yud Zayin, correct? And I have to add Elohim Mastecha, because Aaron, that explains what Aaron thought Elohim Mastecha was okay. It wasn't clear to him. Now I've It didn't say Elohim Masecha lo tasa lechem mishpatim. It says lo tasun teleicha sebeleizav. Now we have to explain even Elohim Masecha is forbidden, even though you mean well. And then Chag HaMatzot, and then we put in Kedushat Bechor again, and then we have Shavuot and Sukkot, and that ends it. Now, how come I'm only repeating the Ben Adam LaMakom laws of Parshat Mishpatim, and not the Ben Amelach HaBero laws? The reason is simple. What was God's threat after Chet HaEgel? Ki lo aleh b'kebecha, because you're an Amkshe Oref. God says, I can't associate myself with you, I can't identify with you. I can't dwell with you because you can't live up to it. But we beg God, we want to be your people. And God was willing to, you know what? I'm willing to dwell with you and I'll be a little more forgiving. Right? We're asking for almost the impossible. We've done that before. It was the Midot HaRachamim enable a new covenant with Midot HaRachamim that allowed the Apostle, what's called HaShochen Itam B'toch Tuvatam. Even though we're Tamei and we make mistakes and we do bad things, God's still willing to dwell with us, but we need to do something to show God that we're privy to this relationship. Even though we're lousy, God still stays with us and we can fix our ways. And that's the whole concept of kapara. We've talked about it many times.
Elaborate on one thing. If I'm remembering this correctly, the stuff in Mishpatim is called Sefer Bris.
No, that's according to some people.
And this is Kiddush HaBris.
What?
This is Kiddush HaBris. You seem to be avoiding that word.
The word Brit?
Yeah.
Well, someone called it. Someone stole that idea and made a whole new book. I mean, Yirmiyahu calls it Brit Chadasha, but We can.
But we're saying the same thing, I think.
No, no, there's a difference. I'm changing. It's this, let me explain why. It's the same breed. What's the core breed? You're a nation serving me. You dedicate your national existence in my service. The original breed was really strict. It's like there's teachers who are strict. You know, there's parents who try that also. Strict. You know, if I'm really strict, the kids will be perfect. Right. Then they realize it doesn't work. Now, what's required? You need not automatic rachamim, not everything, it's okay, forgiving everything, but the possibility of rachamim. And in the new, in the renewed breed, that's a better word, in the renewed breed, okay, it's the same concept, it's the same idea that a nation is the service of God, then in our relationship, God's willing to be more forgiving, and even better, I can learn from my mistakes. I can grow, I can make a stupid, we can make a stupid decision.
I'm taking it just slightly different angle. Yeah. I just want your confirmation, no pun intended. Huh? The notion that what you're calling...
Confirmation, that's reform. We can't use confirmation.
Contract.
Okay. First you have Christian, then you have reform.
Contract, that's pretty much the same as the term.
Yeah, okay. That's a contract. But what's changing now, the laws are the same, but God's relationship, how strict he is with his changes, and now God's saying, I'm going to forgive you automatically. It's not saying, say magic words, I'll forgive you, but understand the idea that, yes, he can forgive you, and now we know that he can forgive, that opens up the possibility of rachamim, and the idea that I can grow from my mistakes. That was the idea of Rech Dichoch we talked about. Yeah?
How do you know that Aharon didn't know that Elohim
must... No, that was a side point. I'm just saying...
Side point, but it's an interesting...
Okay, that's a long share. I'll just give a quick explanation when I'm not explaining. I'm assuming Aharon meant well. I'm assuming he believes in God. He doesn't believe in other gods. And from my experience in Havracha, working with kids, and you really mean well, no good deed goes unpunished. Yeah? You can really have a great idea to do something with kids and do something which is disastrous. You follow? And really get in big trouble. And you really meant well. And that's why Aaron's rehired. Because he meant well, and he's most qualified because he was burned. He got burned once, and he can learn from his mistakes. Because life is learning from your mistakes, not being perfect, is trying to perfect. That's the whole theme of Reach Nicholach we talked about. The whole theme of the flood. Before the flood, Yetzer Adam, Rapa Kol Hayom, after the flood. That was, I think, one of the last years we did. And after the flood, it's and God decides that with the Reach Nicholach, and every time we bring a Korban with the Reach Nicholach, we're supposed to remember that there's room for that you can learn from your mistakes and grow. And if you made a mistake, it's not the end of it. Don't give up. You can still, you can even strengthen your relationship with God. You don't make mistakes intentionally. That's called mezid. But when you unintentionally make a mistake, but you could have been more careful, I can learn from my mistakes and grow from them. Or I can blame them on somebody else, like Adam Rishon tried. Which is in our DNA. Yeah. That's more nice, especially on your wife. Or on God, depends how you understand it. So it's the best typical sin there could be. You know, the first sin that Adam Rishon does. Now, God tells him, you know, you have to learn how to take responsibility and learn from your mistakes. Now back to what we're talking about. We're back here now. The after the Midot Rachamim, before God renewed the Brit, if we're not representing God, if the core concept of the Brit is missing, means we're not God's people, there's no point in coming to visit him in his office. We don't represent him. He won't have a Mikdash. He won't dwell among us, so I can't go visit. Now that God is Yelech Nabikibenu, even though we're Amkshe Oref, and V'asul Mikdash V'Shachanti B'tocham, now that God's going to dwell with us, now I can come and visit again. And therefore, what's the Chiddush after the new, the second Brit, after the second Luchot? What's God saying? Despite the fact you're an Amkshe Oref, right? And despite the fact that you're not, nowhere near where I hoped you to be, you can still visit. And you can just come to me on the holidays. I mean, the relationship is still possible. And that's why as soon as the Mishkan is finally built, we get Sefer Vayikra, if you want to visit, here's what you have to bring. Remember, don't come empty-handed, but don't bring me a bag of potatoes, bring me flowers, bring me you know, a nice bottle of wine, but don't, you know, bring me something significant. If you're poor, you can bring me flour. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. That's where I'm to that. That's going to ruin my share.
Now, it explains two, it doesn't explain three. It's a three times.
What do you mean?
You're saying the repetition in Kikisa is the reinstitution of
three. It's consequence. Now that there's a break, you can come visit me again. So that's why now I have to repeat. Hey, number one, don't think that, what's it say? I'm forgiving. Don't think that I'll forgive core idol worship. Elohim Acherim, other gods? Remember? That's not on the question. I'm still a zealous God. I'm still Midat Adin when it comes to real Avodah Zarah. Like the real bad stuff? For sure not. But even Elohim HaSechalot HaSalach, and but you can worship me, and you come to my place, you come to be seen in my, but you can also, you can come visit. When? On the holidays, like I said before.
Can you count for Pahlman versus Shabbat?
What?
Can you account for Pahlman and Kisisa versus Regalim and
Shabbat? Here, from now on, Regalim is only the first time. I'm not sure why. Why it's called Regalim the first time, I guess, because you have to, I guess I did because you walked there.
It's
Pam. It's only Regalim one time.
Right.
It's Pamim. Look, it's it. That's unless the sitter messed up the copy.
No, it's
the sitter, yeah.
What happens if you read both Re and
Yeah. Now, but here shows Pamim again. Now, and here in the middle of these, first we have Chag HaMatzot, then we have Kedusha Bechor, then we have Shabbat, and then we have Shavuot and Sukkot, right? And that's why we have the, you know, why we read this on Shabbat Shabamoid. I can't call it Shabbat Chol HaMoed because Rabbi Yoel would get angry at me. He told you that, didn't he, Rabbi Yoel? Right? He goes Shabbat Shabamoid. It's not Shabbat Chol HaMoed. There's no such things. It's not Shabbat Chol HaMoed. It's Shabbat Shabamoid. Yeah. Okay. Now, I can't call Shabbat Chol. It's like eating a part of a chillin. Or decaf coffee. Now, what's my problem? But you pointed out. Take a look now. So we have Shabbat, we have Bechor, we have Shabbat, which are the key mitzvot that we got when we came out of Egypt. Kedushat Bechor and Shabbat, we'll see when we got that. Take a look now in Chav Bet, right? V'chag Shavuot HaSelach b'kurei Ketzirin v'Chitim v'chag Asi b'tkuvat HaShana Shosh Pamim b'Shana Yerko V'Zechorcha. Got it? What's my problem now? How can God call the holiday Shavuot? Now, who's God talking to? To Am Yisrael or to Moshe? He's clearly talking to Moshe. Okay? God's talking to Moshe from the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled. Right? And ever since, even better. In Perek Lamed Daled. In Perek Lamed Daled, starting from Pasuk Yud. Moshe is still on Har Sinai. When he receives the second Luchot, he's still up on Har Sinai. He didn't come down yet. I can prove it in a minute. He didn't come, doesn't come down to Pasuk Chatet. Here, he's still on Har Sinai. God gave him the second Luchot. And he wrote on them and gave them back to Moshe. Remember Moshe carved them and God writes on them? He receives them. As he gives them over, he declares his new midot of rachamim. And after he declares his midot of rachamim, Moshe daven and says, now that you're willing to be forgiving, now will you dwell with us? And God says, okay. We're here in the Chokorit Brit, but here's some new guidelines. Okay? That you can't come, no, it's, I'm willing to renew the Brit. And God starts talking now in Pasuk Yud, and continues talking till the end of the Parshia, till Pasuk Chavav. Understand? Now, so therefore God's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai at the end of the second 40 days. But this time God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu the holiday is called Shavuot. How could he call it Shavuot? Doesn't that rule what I said before? Unless you understand Sefer Dvarim, which was a Pan Lengitar title this year. Yeah. The laws of Sefer Dvarim, when were they given to Moshe Rabbeinu? According to Moshe Rabbeinu and according to Sefer Dvarim.
Really?
On the first 40 days. That was for sure before Chet HaEgel. That's black and white in Sefer Dvarim. It's Mufurash. I know most people don't say it, but it's Mufurash. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Sefer Dvarim, the laws I'm teaching you are the laws that Moshe is telling the people in the 40th year, I'm about to teach you a set of laws. These laws came part and parcel with the Ten Commandments. When you received the Ten Commandments, you got scared. You begged me to get the rest. And at that time, God said, tell the people, go back to their tents. You stay here with me, and I'm going to teach you all the laws that they have to keep in the land. Because had it not been for Chet HaEgel, we would have gone to the land right away. And the laws in Sefer Devarim is the main law book of Chumash. It's what's called Torah. The word Torah in Chumash, the word HaTorah, or Mishnah Torah, is the set of laws in Sefer Devarim. Simple pshat of Chumash. The Torah that's with the Aron, or the laws, is the speech in Sefer Devarim. The laws that we read at Hakel are the laws in Devarim. The laws, the reads that they wrote on the big, on Harival, the first Hakel, and the laws of Tzvarim, it's black and white. Written in stone. No. Carved in stone. No. No. If that's true, then in the meantime, between the first Luchot and second Luchot, I'm sorry, between Parshat Mishpatim and the end of Parshat Kitisa, in the meantime, Moshe has received all the laws of Sefer Tzvarim. Got it? In Sefer Dvarim, what does God explain to Moshe Rabbeinu? Shiva Shavuot, tispor lach mechal chamesh b'kamah, techal tispor shiva shavuot. In the meantime, Moshe's been in yeshiva for a whole month. Not it? Okay. And then remember, first he was learning, and then he became a lawyer, then he became a fundraiser. You know, he had like any shul rabbi. You want to be a teacher and you end up being a babysitter and get put down. You know, people make mistakes. Your assistant rabbi does something bad, and you get him. Then you have to argue. Then you have to raise money for a new building. Now, you have to delegate. Now back to back to the Devarim. So that's my key point, is that now that in real time Moshe has already received the laws of Sefer Devarim, and that allows me to read the laws of Sefer Devarim before Vayikra, and to read the laws of Sefer Devarim is an expansion of the key points of a Parsha Mishpatim. And I want to talk about the logical order. First, we get out of Egypt. We enter a contract with God. God says, "Do you want to be my people?" We say yes. We get the contract, what we call the Ten Commandments. We get a sampling of law called Parsha Mishpatim, which is primarily the Chiddush of Abinum Lachaviro, not just Choshe Mishpat, but also Yoredeya, and ethical laws and things like that. And then based on that, God's going to bless your land. By the way, that's Hinenu Shalach Malach Lefanecha. If you follow my laws, I'll help you defeat your enemies. If you don't, I won't help you. But it's the same idea that based on your acceptance and willingness to keep my laws of Parshat Mishpatim, and since Parshat Mishpatim is primarily Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, that's the big finish of Chumash, that it's not what you believe in. It's not the fact you believe in one God that makes a difference. And scream that out three times a day, but rather, it's how you internalize that understanding and how you serve God as His people. now, in light of that, I have to look at the law code in Sefer Dvarim and see how it expounds and explains this concept of Parshat Mishpatim. And it's going to apply, I call it an app. How do I apply the concept of Parshat Mishpatim in real life in the land of Israel, in an agricultural society in the land of Israel? And I'll bring some examples, okay? So I want to begin with the holidays in Sefer Devarim, okay? In Perek Tzayin, which we all know by heart. Okay. So what I'm trying to explain is, before I read Ki Tisa and the summary psukim, I want to go back and follow what's happening between God and Moshe Rabbeinu. After Moshe Rabbeinu receives Parsha Mishpatim, he teaches it to the people. He's up on Har Sinai for the first 40 days, getting a more detailed set of laws about how to set up a nation in the land of Israel. Actually, I have extra sources here. Just for those who don't remember, you pass these around.
Again, analysis doesn't require looking at more.
What?
You don't have to look hard
anymore. I don't think so, because it
stands on top.
And more could easily be given after the Mishkan is built. There's Parsha Vayikra after the Mishkan is built. That's before Rosh, isn't it? Now, Parsha Tzav seems to be earlier. Tzav could be understood either way. Parsha Bahar, that's a great question. When Bahar was given, that's a big machok, it is with the first luchot or second luchot. But definitely not. Now, some people hold Bahar was given at Mamad Har Sinai. That's why it says Bahar Sinai. Yeah. But it won't ruin, Adrad will help this year. Bahar was given on Har Sinai. Let's see, because it'll explain Shuas a lot better. Now, this is just a quick review of Sefer Dvarim. See what's the Ten Commandments in Sefer Dvarim in Kriyat Shema? It says associate from a different shir, but nothing to do with it. It's just an outline of the main speech in Sefer Dvarim, which I know we've done this year a couple times, and everyone should know it, but there's a speech from chapter 5. Everyone knows Dvarim, don't they?
Yeah.
Chapter 5 to 26 is a big speech, and it begins where, with opening line, Moshe tells the people, listen, laws I'm teaching today, learn them and keep them, and these are part of the brit that God made with you back at Har Sinai, and it wasn't only with your parents He made the brit with you, and God spoke to you directly, panim to panim. And here's what God said directly, and then you guys got scared, and you begged me to be the middleman, and you said, not submission, whatever I say. And God says, stay here with me, I'll teach you the law, send them home. And now Moshe becomes Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ikar Emunah is what? There are enough of those? Just make sure the check's not there. That happened to me once. I had an envelope of my own. I went out with the source sheets. Okay. Now back to the laws. Then we have a set of laws that starts with Shema, Ba'atat Hashem Elokecha. Got it? And the first section is chapter 6 to 11 that begins with Shema Ba'hafta, ends with Vayim Shema. I'm sure we've done that. That's called the HaMitzvah section, which is about attitude and rebuke, where the core concepts were given 40 years ago. And as Moshe teaches those core concepts, he throws in lots of Musar. Remember how you sinned, Mamrim Yetim Yam Datiyotim in Parshat Ekev? Right? Like any teacher, as he reviews what God originally said, he throws in his own commentary. And that was the Mitzvah section, which is all about attitude, we call Musar and Emunah. And the law section began in chapter 12 and goes to 26, and it begins with HaMachom HaShirif HaRashem. Because on a practical level, if you're going to be God's nation forever, I need a hub. I need a shul. I'll give you an example, we'll see in a minute, of the difference between the laws in Yitzvarim to what happens in Shemot earlier. The Shemot sets the principles, gets things started, and Brem's going to apply it in real time once we have a nation. Remember, the last law of the law section is going to be Bikurim. That once a year you make a proclamation, remembering why you were chosen, and the whole theme of God watching our history, and that's what we use for the story of the Seder. Now, so that's the unit. Now, in that unit, between chapters 12 and 26, the first big topic is HaMakom HaShirif HaRashem. That's what we need. This is a share sort of for Yom Yerushalayim. Because we need a center. We don't need a place to serve God. We need a national center where we're going to have our hub. That's going to be the hub of all the Kohanim and Levim. We're going to be scattered to the different cities, but that's going to be their hub. Everyone comes there. We have a Groupon. Remember our Groupon? The first concept of a Groupon? 10% of your produce belongs to you, but you can only eat it in Yerushalayim, which is going to sort of encourage people, if not force people, to go to Yerushalayim on a regular basis. Okay? And once you're there, remember the man Timal Lirat, then you'll learn to fear God because you'll go, all the yeshivas are there. You go to Meir Shorim, you'll be inspired. How beautiful the people. Okay? And that'll be the city where everyone visits on a regular basis. You have all your questions, you go to them, you bring your Levi with you. Now, in the context of those laws, then we have HaMakom HaShirif HaRashem, we have Maser Rishon, Maser Sheni, we have the laws of agriculture, financial Shemitah. Every 7 years we know our debts, remember? That's in chapter 7. And a reminder, make sure to lend money, even though Shemitah is coming up, and Petach Tifach Yadcha. And in the context of HaMakom HaShirif HaRashem, we have the holidays, we have the Shalosh Regalim. Okay? Now, look at the very end of chapter 15. Just look at chapter 15 in Sefer Dvarim now. I want to give you the background of where the holidays are presented. But first, again, Perek Yudvet was HaMakom HaShirif HaRashem and Basar Tava. If you want to eat meat, it needs to be a korban. But if you're far away, you can do what we call Chulin, which I call Mini Kachin. It's chulin, it's mini kachin. According to Chumash, if you want to eat meat, it has to be a korban. Mm-hmm. Correct? That was Vayikra Meforash. In Dvarim, it needs to be a korban. But listen, not everyone's going to come to Yerushalayim every time they want to eat meat. So it's okay to eat meat outside Yerushalayim. But you should need a mizbeach. If I allow a mizbeach, I'm going to build bamot. Dvarim doesn't want bamot because that will ruin the centrality of Yerushalayim. And therefore, to make sure we don't build bamot, Dvarim allows basar tava. What do? We treat it like a korban without a mizbeach. You shecht it like a korban. Anything that would have been on the mizbeach, you don't touch. The dam and the chaylev. And then you can eat the meat. So basically, kosher meat is basically mini kachim without a mizbeach. And that's why the things you can't eat, and that's why it's a chiyuv karet, because it's a pigyan the mikdash, not just it's not stamalal. Usually it's mikdash related things like Shabbat that are going to be few of karet. Because karet, remember, is a consequence. You know, something that reflects and reminds you of the core covenant between you and God. If you don't respect that, then your actions speak louder than words. So the consequence, if you desecrate, if Shabbat is an oath brit, if Shabbat's our weekly reminder that we're God's people, if I intentionally desecrate the Shabbat and don't respect it, I'm basically saying through my actions, I don't identify with the brit, and therefore the consequences are cut off. We call Chiyuv Karet. Then we have talked about bad influences in Perek Yud Gimel, and then Yudalad Barim Atem Lashem Elokechem, and then we repeat the main theme of the theme of Devarim, that you're God's people in Pasuk Bet Kiyam Kadosh Atah Lashem Elokecha. What?
How do you count for the animals in Yudalad?
Here's what you can eat. We just talked about what you can eat, and we talked about in Devarim about Basar Tava. And now we get more details what animals you can eat. But it has nothing to do with Tuman Tarana, does it? There's no tuman, and Vayikra is tuman tara. These are just, here's what you can eat. Now what's really cool, according to this, what you can eat, what you can't eat, comes before the laws of tuman tara. These laws are given before the laws of Vayikra. But that's too complicated for now. You understand what I mean? The laws in Shmini, of what's kosher or not, Moshe Rabbeinu knows these laws already before he gets the laws of Shmini. Because now that there's a concept of, there's a national diet. Got it? And God's saying it's okay to eat meat, but don't overdo it. God's allowing us to eat animals, correct? That's a big question, because before the flood, it wasn't okay. After the flood, God says, I can bring you down to bring you up. Remember? With Chazon HaSimchanut of Rav Kook. Maybe ideally, we should be veggies, but and realistically speaking, if you put stuff on man on too high a level, he'll end up killing other humans. If you don't let him eat an animal, he's going to end up killing other humans. That was the whole... That was his approach to why we have to matir, how God was too strict with men, and that's what led to the flood. In case you want a heter for not doing chumras. Now, you have to read Chazon HaSimchanut of Rav Kook. It's awesome. He didn't write it, so we shouldn't do chumras, but that's what we learned from it. So yeah, begins. But the theme of Mamad Har Sinai is here. Ki am kadosh atal Hashem Elokecha, ubacha bachar Hashem mikol amim lo'olam skula. That's the brief of Har Sinai. That's the proposition in Perikut Tet and Shmot. Then we have our national diet. And then Aser Taser in Perikut Dalet, Pasach Habet, where we start laying on Shmini Atzeret. 10% of your produce you have to eat by Makom HaShirif Har Hashem. And the end of Pasach Habdalet, I'm sorry? Yeah, the end of Pasach Chav Gimel. Why are we doing this? L'man timad lirat Hashem kol yamin. Why do we have to eat in Yerushalayim? That will teach you how to fear God. The fact you have to come and on a regular basis, you know, come to Yerushalayim to Makom HaShirif Hashem, hopefully that will teach you to fear God. It will be a type of a recharge. Then we say, every 3 years, the same 10% that I gave for my own personal religious growth, remember? Now I give to poor people. Which I think there's so much step to that. I'm not giving one tax every year to poor people and one tax every year for my religious growth. I'm taking the exact same tax and 2 years is for my religious growth and the third year I'm going to apply my lesson and give that 10% to the poor and the needy. That's called Maser Ani. Remember Maser Ani is Maser Shini? Yeah. And then another 3 year cycle and then I'm going to and on the seventh year I'm going to make a big deal about it and that'll be the Shemitah year. But that's the cycle of the Shemitah year. We'll talk about Shemitah soon. And then again, another application of kiyamucha chicha. Understand? He might be sold into slavery. Treat him like a human being. You don't own him. You own his work output. And after his time is up, you give him a bonus. And remember, you were a slave in Egypt. The law of Eved Ivri. Yeah. Then also,
it's too much. I mean, it's also my surrounding.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you can't eat all that much. You're forced to make a kiddush. Yeah. Yerushalayim is going to be, by the way, I have to share with you something. There's this Hasidish guy in Borough Park he wrote me every once in a while. He asked me if I can give a share one time to his. He has a Chabura learning guys. I had no idea who he was, but he's like, Thursday night it was free because, you know, Wednesday night was, you know, Yom HaTzmaut, but Thursday night is Yom Tov, so no one needs to speak on Thursday night. So I was open, I said, I can come to you Thursday night in Borough Park. So I met him, and what do you call it? First he came to YU to meet me on Thursday. And anyway, he's a Bubba Berkhasi, the whole dress and everything. So we went to his house for dinner. He has Chaburus after Marv at 9 o'clock to do a shir. Like 30, 40 people. It was a nice group. You know, mostly Hasidim. A couple, you know, one or two classes, Surgis came. So how come I told that story? I was telling you... Oh yeah. So at Mincha, we went to the first time Mincha. There's a shtibo there, you know, running minions all the time, like the thing. And in the middle, like in the basement there, on the way to the bathroom, there's like a kitchen, like an old dilapidated kitchen, like yeshiva kitchen from Europe kind of thing. And there's tons of food there for anyone who wants. Anyone has any leftovers, brings their leftovers there. And anyone who wants to eat, it's like an open kitchen. So it wasn't the cleanest place. And there were so many people eating there, you know, and, you know, came to Mincha to take a cup to eat. It was like we said that's Maser Ani kind of idea. You have your, because that's the Beis HaMikdash. The shul is a mini mikdash. That's where people come and gather. Now,
is that
talking about the Thursday thing? Yeah,
we're talking. What?
No, it's great. It's great, yeah. It's, it was a lot of, I'll show you a picture. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. And I really, now I see why, even though like I don't agree, that's the way to bring up a family. If you want to keep your kids Jewish, there's no doubt. It might not be, but it works. At least it looks like it works. Okay. There's a certain thing to it. There's a certain thing to that lifestyle. I went back, you know, it was a class. I was watching Jewish history from 50 years ago. I had a tour of Europe. I didn't have to go to Europe. I saw it there. I'd never been there. I never saw Borough Park. The old, like 13th Avenue, 40 whatever it's called. I was never there.
But you don't see the
Noshrim. Yeah, that's something else. I only see the good side. Yeah, it's like when you come to visit us, we just see all the nice things. And see the. Now back to what? Just from the internet. They learned my shir. They had no idea who I was, but they had it. And they were good. They know it's a machai to teach them. Because they know their chumash cold and the other stuff, and they never saw this stuff before. They're like, you know, it's like candy for them.
They know the chumash.
They know chumash. They know chumash. Because some of them actually learn. They learn it, and they know their stuff. It was a machai teaching. They knew psukim. I did the Omer share. I did that with you, the Omer share, didn't I? I'll review it at the end because it'll relate to this. Yeah, but only on kosher phones, and you know, and what do you call it? They do it. What? No, they're careful with it. Not the kids don't have it, but they're watching Shirim on YouTube all the time. They know the internet because they're learning. Okay, now back to sorry for cutting. Now we get to Shosh Regalim. Okay, Perek Tzayin. Then we say Shemor Chodesh Aviv, Basita Pesach Hashem Elokecha. Now take a look at Perek Tzayin. There's three parshiot. Obviously, one's Pesach, one's Shavuot, and one's Sukkot. My claim is this is God talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, originally on the first 40 days. Now, let's put yourself in Moshe Rabbeinu's position on the first 40 days and see if everything makes sense. Shemor Chodesh Aviv, Basita Pesach Hashem Elokecha, Ki Bechodesh Aviv Yaseta Mitzrayim. That's nothing new. Just keep doing it. And then v'sabashta Pesach Hashem Elokecha Tzvon Abakar. Where? V'machom Eshevchar Hashem L'shakeh Shmo Sham. That's a Kiddush. And here's a beautiful example of a machloket between Shmot and Devarim, which makes a lot of sense. According to Shmot, do we bring Korban Pesach L'dorot? In Shmot. Is there a mitzvah Pesach L'dorot? Of course there is. What? In Perek Yud-Bet. Pesach, Korban Pesach.
But Perek Yud-Bet where makes it so
classic. Yeah, for sure it's L'dorot, yeah. But in Perek Yud-Bet, Kishalcha Bincha, you do this Avodah, Kishalcha Bincha Ma'avod Lechem, V'mashem Zevach Pesach Asher Pesach.
That's the split in Yud-Bet.
Yeah, but it's still, but in Yud-Bet we have Pesach L'dorot. And Moshe tells it to the people in Perek Yud-Gimel. But Chagam Atzot, and there's Pesach L'dorot in Chumash, but if I read Sefer Shmot, where do you celebrate Passover? In your home. You can't miss that. It doesn't mention anything about a said coming to the Beit HaMikdash. A Chagam Atzot, you have to do Aliyah L'Rega maybe. But Pesach, the buzzword is Bayit, isn't it? When you learn Parshat HaChodesh, Bayit is the key word. Once a year, it's a family gathering, a big family gathering, because you have to have enough people to eat a lamb. It's going to be a meal where you talk about the story of the exit. You got the Levin Chabiyamu Lemor. And you sit down to a meal with matzah and mar and what do you call it? Pesach, and you do that every generation. It's a family, it's our Passover. Now, in Devarim, all of a sudden, where does God want you to be? Mm-hmm. Got it? So where should you celebrate Passover? That's a classic machloket, which of course the Bible critics make a big deal about, but I think it's awesome. Why? Because there's two focal points of being Jewish. There's the Jewish home, and then there's the shul. Got it? The two focal points is the Mikdash and the Bayit, and you need both. And I need Korban Pesach to build the home, I need Korban Pesach for the national celebration. Now, not everyone made it to the Mikdash. Realistically speaking, not everyone made Aliyah L'Rego. Every couple of years. Like pretty much take the average family in Teaneck, how often they go to Yerushalayim is pretty much. I think that's like a model pretty much for what Aliyah L'Rego was like in Israel. People were busy. But you tried as often as you could. So there was a big gathering in Yerushalayim, and everyone who stayed home had a home. But that idea of Korban Pesach at home and as a key yearly event for the family, that's our Masorah for sure. So I joke in hotel programs that machloket is between do you spend Passover at home or go to a hotel? Because the Mikdash Mat now became the hotel.
What would they do? They would be, so they would make a
Korban? Listen, Bamot were mutter until Hamakom. It's Bamot are mutter, aren't they? Until the time of Shlomo, Bamot are mutter. Racha Bamot lo saru. No one, listen, in hindsight, we answer them. But no one, until Chizkiyahu, everyone, even the front people had Bamot. Just read Tanakh. It's like saying you can't have Ashkama Minyan. No one's going to listen to that. Or saying you can only daven in the big shul. And there's no break up minis and stuff like that. Remember? That's people just can't do that. It's not realistic. It might be ideal, but it doesn't work. And therefore, Bamot, all the good kings, Racha Bamot Osaru, that's Avodat Hashem. Yeah.
What you said before about mini kachim, the assumption I thought was that people didn't have bamot at home. That's why they have shechita, and they're eating basar kulin because they can't have bamot. But if bamot wasn't usher,
but Devarim wants it usher. Devarim says once there's a makom sharif har Hashem and you can't bring kulin anywhere else, then you can have kulin. In Vayikra, the kulin has to go to the Mishkan.
Theory versus action.
You're talking about in reality. I'm talking about what I'm trying to show is that in Chumash we talk about principles. How you apply them in real life, you have to ask the rabbis during Bat Rishon how they applied it. I'm just saying our tradition of Pesach at home is grounded in Sefer Shemot. How to resolve it? There's lots of topics in Chumash where there's no way you can resolve it. There's stirot between the books. There's obvious ones. Chazal resolve it. But it's not multiple authors. And Chumash says it intentionally because he's building principles, because there's a principle of the home and there's a principle of the Mikdash. How do you resolve it? Am Yisrael resolves it. God leaves that to the Rabbanim. I don't see that. I think it's a pattern throughout Chumash and it's deep and it makes a lot of sense. It's a super advanced way of giving a law code. And then how to apply that? God gives us tons of latitude of how we make our decisions. We'll see again about we'll relate to Sphere in a minute. Now, what's the next thing we have? Okay, so that's Pesach. Then we have the Pasuk that...
Are you saying there's no... There's intentionally no notion of Chag HaMatzot?
No, there's Chag HaMatzot. There's...
But it's not called that.
Sure it is. Pasuk Gimel. Lo tocha alav chametz, shivata ben tocha alav matzot, lechem oni. The chiddush here is that Chag HaMatzot is intricately related to Korban Pesach. It's the same holiday. It's the extension of the holiday because it's giving meaning. Okay, now, why is that so important in Sefer Dvarim? Because throughout Sefer Dvarim, we're going to use the memory of the Exodus as a motivator for good behavior. That's an underlying theme to the book, like 10 times. Remember you were a slave in Egypt. Remember you were a stranger. And therefore, be kind, be nice, be sensitive. And that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah at the Seder. What Pasuk does he call it? Pasuk Gimel. Why do I go once a year in the spring I bring Korban Pesach? I go Meshuggah, no Chametz, representing bad culture. Eat matzah instead for 7 days. Why? In order that I remember Yisrael every day of my life. Because the memory of the Exodus in Sefer Devarim shapes your behavior. That was my point from the beginning. I lost track of it. The first point about the Shalosh Regalim was it's about your behavior. Got it? You're going to get your agricultural view from God, but God will give you not based on what you believe in, but how you act. And that's why it's the conclusion of the laws of Parsha Mishpatim. Now in Devarim, what's it telling you? In the spring, when you bring Korban Pesach, which is, and what do you... Why in Yaviv, when the spring is starting, you're worried stiff about your grain harvest. You're worried, and you got to pray to somebody, you pray to God. And you do something to recognize that God is going to control the output of your grain. That's why we bring the Omer. That'll be in Vayikra. You bring the Omer exactly during that season, from the beginning of the Aviv until the end of the Chag Katzir. That'll be an application of that idea. But I need to remember, not just to thank God, but to remember that my grain is a function of my deeds. And how I act and how I take upon myself to act. Now, when I make that statement, when I bring Korban Pesach in the beginning of the year, I need to remember not only that he took me out of Egypt, but why he took me out of Egypt. You know, the memory of the Exodus, this is my key point, I want to make sure it's clear. The memory of the Exodus is a transformative memory that shapes our behavior. We celebrate Exodus in the spring at the beginning of our grain season, which is our critical, that's food on the table for the rest of the year. We have 2 months for our grain to grow. If that fails, we're in big trouble. We're worried stiff, we got to turn to somebody. If it wasn't our God, it'd be another God. Everyone did. You did your ishtadlus to grow your grain, but things are out of your control. How the crop is going to grow? Is it going to be ripe? Will it be good? How good will your harvest be? Will locusts come and eat it? Will robbers come and take it? there's tons of unpredictable variables that are in God's hands. But you have to understand that God's going to give it to you based on your relationship with God, based on your relationship with your fellow men and the society you build. And therefore, why am I celebrating Passover? To make sure I remember the Exodus every day of my life and apply it in my society. What does Sefer Tefillin do? It applies that memory to the society. That we just had it before in Perek, remember with the Eved. Remember? Hanek Taneklo? No, when he goes up, and remember you were a slave in Egypt. We'll see it coming up again in a minute. And we had it in the Ten Commandments in Dvarim. Remember, Laman Yonuach? Remember you were a slave in Egypt when it comes to Shabbat. Now, so that's, now, the main chiddush here is Korban Pesach has to be b'makom asher yivchar Hashem. And we're so worried about it, this don't even, not just the chatchila, lo tuchal lizboch, in Pasuk Dalet Hei. Lo tuchal lizboch b'makom, kim b'makom asher yivchar Hashem, and don't think I can shechter there and bring it home. One night minimum stay. The main chiddush of Pesach here is b'makom asher yivchar Hashem. And you see that it's fighting Sefer Shemot, it's not fighting, but it's emphasizing the centrality of Yerushalayim because that's the biggest theme now. Now, again, how to apply it? I think most people stayed home, but a large group of people came to Yerushalayim. Whenever there was a big turnover, right, a big national awakening, remember like in the time of Chizkiyahu and Yoshiel, it was a massive Korban Pesach that was a big, where the people gathered together to a big awakening. Now, let's read Perek Tet. In other words, what's God telling Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai in the first 40 days about the importance of b'makom asher yivchar Hashem once you get to Yerushalayim, once you get to Israel? And Korban Pesach has to be brought there as well. At least, it's got to be a central component for the Pesach. Not everyone should be at home. People have to come to Yerushalayim as well. Now, then it says, count 7 weeks from when? In Pasuk Tet. From the time you begin your grain harvest, for the 7 weeks, which is exactly your grain harvest. It's going to take a couple days. Okay? And then make Chag Shavuot Hashem Elokecha, a little Jewish guilt. How much do you give to God? Based on how much He blesses you. Right. And then the famous one, Pasuk Gimel, "V'samach lifnei Hashem Elokecha hu, atah v'incha b'itecha, v'avtecha b'amtecha, v'alev yesher b'sharecha, v'ger b'tom v'almana, shebikibecha, b'makom asher yivchar Hashem." Where do you celebrate the Chag Katzir? B'makom asher yivchar Hashem. And who has to be happy? Everybody. How does Rashi understand this? This doesn't make any sense to say everybody. But who's on this list? All the people who don't own land. The Levi doesn't own land. The Ger, the Atom, the Amana, and your workers. And therefore, how do you thank God? Not by you being happy, but making others happy. Rashi on the spot. You make my four happy, I'll make your family happy. You take care of the Levi, the Ger, the Atom, and Amana. Now, that's exactly the same theme, isn't it? Based on what will God, the Mani Vrechash, so God will bless you with your crops? Like, what do you need to do so God will bless you? You share your happiness with those who don't have. There's a whole Megillah about it, isn't there? That's Megillah Rut. Followed by what motivating phrase? Pasuk Yudbet. V'zecharta ki yevareita b'eretz Mitzrayim. Wasn't that so 7 weeks ago? Why am I mentioning Shavuot, remembering the Exodus, unless that phrase throughout the Devarim is a motivator for sensitivity and helping? And therefore, how do you thank God? Now, what do you pray? Based on what will God give you grain, based on your society, and how do you show God your thanks? By applying that in real time. So when I'm thanking God for my spring harvest, I have to celebrate together with those less fortunate. Remember the Mishnah in Pesachim about how do we tell the story? We do Mikra Bikurim to where? Actually, we want to call up Parsha. And everyone thinks it means what? Until Eretz Yisrael. That's my, no, it's my friends. Okay? And for some reason we skip it. Okay? What's the end of the Parsha? There's a pasuk after Ezer. V'samachta b'chol atov, asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha, ata ba'levi v'ager shebir kirbecha. That's it. And the next law, kitchalel aser kum aser kum, v'datata la'levi l'ager atamana, and they have to make another declaration, b'yati ha'kodesh min habayit, v'gam, v'tatid la'levi l'ager atamana, kum, lo shachti, I did all my social justice obligations, and my tumkai, remember? Lo chati boni mimeni, levati betamei. It's such a beautiful, it's the final proclamation of Sefer Dvarim. I think that's what Chazal mean by Achibar Kola Parshakula, because that's the application of that idea. It's how do you take that idea, that revolution in religion, that God's going to bless your agriculture and your prosperity based on what you do with your wealth? And that's why, remember, you were slave in Egypt. Then Sukkot, the same celebration. The same list of people have to be happy. And that's now it's going to be Chag, what do you call it? Now it's called Sukkot. When you do, what do you call it? When you gather You think that? That's the question, whether Sukkot is a practical thing, because that's what people are living in during grain harvest. Remember the Machloket? Or Sukkot to remember how we lived in the desert. But Moshe is going to explain it in Sefer Dvarim in a minute. I mean, earlier he explained it. And then the summary pasuk, Shosh Pamim Bashana, which we know from Davening. Okay. Then we have Shotrim B'Shotrim, and then we have our Supreme Court B'Makom Mashiach Yivchar Hashem. And just two examples of laws later on in Perek Chavdalet. Chavdalet Yitzayin. Yeah, most of the laws, again, are going to be from in Parshat Shoftim Ki Tetzé. Laws of the nation, how to go to war, and who goes to war, and laws about our national leadership, about our king, about our judicial system, and laws about society, marriage laws, divorce laws, and things like that. Spending money, and all those kind of... but it's almost all been on the Chaviro. Even a little thing about Lashon Hara. In Perek Chavdalet, in Pasuk Yudalet, Lo Tashok, Sechir Ani Ve'Avyon, classic. You're paying people on time. It's only a Diyoraisa, so we're not knocked. We've done that. Yeah.
Can you explain why in Emor, Chagasukos is called Chagasukos?
We'll get to it, but only
Chagasukos,
only in the finale.
Yeah, the second.
Okay, and the finale is coming to explain it because it has a double meaning. Because it's Sukkot, because you are in Sukkot, and you're now. We'll get to it soon. What?
We'll get
to Emor soon. In a minute, we'll get to Emor. But my claim is this came before Emor. It's not so terrible if Emor came in behind. That won't ruin my share. But it explains why Shavuot, it could be even Emor was given on the first 40 days. It could be. And then for sure there's no problem calling it Shavuot. But I'm saying I don't need Emor to be before him because I have, it makes more sense that this is given before Emor because Emor is much more detailed. This Shiva Shavuot is Polach. It's a basic thing, and Emor is going to widen it even more. Wait till we get to Emor. Give me a minute, I'll get to Emor. Now, look in Chavdalet Yudzayin, just a quick application. And before going to Avot Abanim, that's like justice in the court system, people, Ish Bechato Yamut, Yumatum. Pasuk Yudzayin, Lo Tate Mishpat Ger Yotom, Lo Topa Beger Amana, Vezachar, Tekeveri, Taberet Mitzrayim, Tiftecha Shem Elokeach, Okay, no, Nochim Etzavcha, Lassot, the Dabar Hazeh. That's why I took you out of Egypt. That's the application of, that's why you have to remember it every day of your life. And now our one for Yom Tov, Pasuk Yitad, Ki Tiksor Secha Basadecha, V'Shachach Tomer Basadeh. We're commanded to leave over, aren't we? We're commanded to forget, or should you forget? Can't understand it that way, but I think it's written in a way like you're supposed to forget. Don't go back and take it. Instead, leave it for the Ger Yotam and Amanah, followed by the same thing with your olive harvest, the same thing with your grape harvest, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and the grand finale, Chabet, and got my point? When remembering the Exodus is going to be core, that's going to shape our day-to-day behavior, and based on that behavior, God's going to bless our agriculture. It's super simple, but it's revolution in religion. And that's the main kiddush. I'm trying to think why they are where they are. And I'm saying the laws in Devarim is simply, the principle is developed in Parshat Mishpatim through its structure, and the application is all through the law code in Sefer Devarim, which is the main set of laws that guide our day-to-day life, that makes us a nation representing God. Because when we do that, remember the finale lines of the speech? How do I become this Am Kadosh? By keeping the laws of Sefer Devarim. And that's why laws of Devarim need constant repetition. And that's why when we say Shema, we remember Yitzat Mitzrayim. And we do with Parshat Tzitzit, which is the same thing. Remembering not that he took you out, but why he took you out. So those are just examples, and again, at the end of the speech, Perek Chavav is Mikra Bikurim that we talked about already, with again that grand finale about sensitivity. Now back to, in light of that, I want to see Emor now. Emor, and then we can finish up. Let's say, if someone has to leave, it's fine. I'm not going to go. I've got nowhere to go today, so. take Emor, that's going to be Perek. Perek Chavgimon Vayikra. Look at Chavgimon Vayikra. Again, it could be Moshe got this before, also on the first 40 days, but it could also be that it was given on after the Mishkan is built. Because Vayikra, you can't tell for sure. But Parsha Achronot for sure is after the Mishkan is built. So if the laws are there, so it could be that's only, Yom Kippur might only be in response to that, or it could be just related. So the question, how about all the other laws about Korbanot and Vayikra? By the way, Kiddushin II we read yesterday was an application of the Ten Commandments. When that was given in a special setting, but it makes sense that the laws of Kiddushin II would be on the first 40 days. It's inserted in the middle of Vayikra. Now, look in Perek Chav Gimel in Vayikra. Even Kiddushin II?
All of that. Everything after...
After Perek Yitzet.
Yeah.
You can see it that way.
I mean, it was really a crisis.
Yeah, but it could be that they were given beforehand, but they're recasted after that. You know, because there's, I would have Toshim to you even if it wasn't for another Naviyu. But now once I've done Naviyu, I'm going to recast it that way. The same thing with Parshat Tzitzit. Parshat Tzitzit I would have had even without Chetam Aglim. But once I have Chetam Aglim, I'm going to represent it relating to Chetam Aglim. That there's logic for Tzitzit even if it wasn't for Chetam Aglim. Got it? Remember, in Devarim Gvilim, the Selach has already allowed the first 40 days. Okay. Now, the first thing to look in Perek Chav Gimel is the overall structure. Because it's Mo'adim, isn't it? The opening line, Mo'adei Hashem, and then Pasuk Eilu Mo'adei Hashem. And it ends in the end of Perek Chav Gimel with what? Ma'adei Hashem, Mo'adei Hashem, Abnei Yisrael. There's a unit of Mo'adim. Perek Chav Gimel is a classic unit. But in the middle of this unit, there's an insert. Because all the Mo'adim have a date stamp. It's a lunar calendar. You can't miss it. It's parenthetically, I mentioned Shabbat, which is not under has nothing to do with the moon. But the Mo'adim have everything to do with the moon, because that's why God gave us the moon. Remember, in day four, we looked at the Mo'adim. Eilu Mo'adei Hashem, and the Mikrei Kodesh, we gather, and we have a calendar. B'chodesh Harishon, B'arba'asah L'chodesh, Pesach. B'chamish Asah L'chodesh Harishon, Chag Matzot, Tzivat Yamim. It's something we knew already. It's just being repeated, but now we have it official. As the beginning of a holiday calendar. Now, we had Chag HaMatzot, and then look in Pasuk Tet. From Pasuk Tet, through Pasuk Chabet, is an insert. Got it? There's no lunar date. Let's see why there can't be. And I could read this. This could be read without the Mo'adim. This could have been anywhere in Chumash. And it could have been a lot of places. But this doesn't have to be as part of the Mo'adim. It's inserted into the Mo'adim because it relates to the Mo'adim. And by Chumash inserting it into the Mo'adim, Chazal understand I have to give it a date. And I have to relate it to Pesach. But it's the juxtaposition of what leads Chazal to decide that we connect this mitzvah to Passover when we start counting. Let's just say, let's read it a little now. In Pasuk Tet. This doesn't apply in the desert, only in the land of Israel, obviously, because there's no grain harvest in the desert. What do we do? At the beginning of our grain harvest, we bring Omer. We talked about that, didn't we? Why Omer? Omer was the word of the utensil that collects the manna. And we're making a statement that we're going to treat our grain harvest like it's manna. I'm sure I did that show with you, didn't I? We didn't do the manna show, we did. You better. That's like, how can you understand Shavuot without that? Okay. Remember, the Omer was the utensil we used to collect the manna in the desert. In Omer, the size of the kli was the utensil, but you put into as much as you needed.
You didn't do that here. You did that in Omer.
Oh. I never did that here? Oh my gosh. It's okay. I'll do a short version real fast. You know what I'm talking about? How could you understand Omer without that? Omer, why is the Qurban called Omer? Because we're making a statement. Yeah. So we're making a statement in front of God that we're going to treat our grain like it's manna. Because that manna that God gave us in the desert, the Omer, was what? Was the manna anaseno lech b'torah timlo. The whole manna experience, which take as much as you need, as much as you want. It's teaching how to behave in Kiddush. It's no hoarding. If you're going to be God's people, before you get to Torah, can you learn to share with one another? And take as much as you need, as much as you want. And then also the whole concept of Shabbat. And the whole idea of the Jewish week begins there. That's how we learn about Shabbat. And therefore, Omer and the concept of Shabbat and a week is critical to the thing. And the whole idea of a week is telling you that nature is coming from Elohim, from one God who created in 7 days. It goes back to the whole point of Perek Aleph and Bereshit. So that's the... therefore, we call this Omer 7. And we call this Omer. We call this Korban Omer. And for the next 7 weeks, which is exactly our grain harvest, every day we talk about the manna experience by calling Omer. And we're saying that even though I'm doing it myself, I'm treating it as though it's Lechem Min HaShamayim, even though it's Lechem Min HaAretz. And it's a powerful statement that we're saying. And again, the original laws of Omer is how you treat your fellow man, by not taking more than you need. So then, and now with the Omer, you bring a special korban. Remember, v'nifit Omer l'fnei Hashem etzon kem. And then on the same day, you bring a, what do you call it, a keves. And usually a keves has one isaron, which was the same amount that the Omer was. But because this keves is coming with the Omer, now this time I bring a mincha with two isaronim. Remember, Rashi points out this is only korban mincha. For a keves, it's two isaronim instead of one.
What's two?
It can't be one. Because the Omer is in isaron. So I wanted to distinguish this korban with a regular one.
I'm just kidding. It's not that it's two, it's just that it's not.
It's not one, yeah, exactly.
Minimum not one is two.
Two. If you're a math major, you figure, you understand that. That's what math people do all day long. Now, then you bring a special korban with it, the whole thing. And then you count to 7 weeks. Now it makes sense why we're counting weeks. Do you understand why we're counting weeks? Because the whole concept of a Jewish week began with the manna, which is Omer. And the week reminds me that everything's coming from God, even though there's all these nature gods. It's Elohim, God who created all these things. And but the way that God blesses us with our prosperity is based on our deeds. And then after the 7 weeks, we bring the Shtei Lechem, and then we bring the first grain of the new grain to God. Remember, our own grain we can eat after we bring the Omer. Outside the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, the first time we bring wheat from the new crops is going to be Shavuot. That's the Bikurim that Shavuot was talking about. People think it's fruit baskets. There aren't any fruit baskets. Shavuot's done. It's grain. It's the first grain that goes to the temple. But I mean, you could bring it. You can't bring it beforehand. But in reality, there's very little fruit growing in Israel, especially in the hill country. The grapes aren't in season yet. It's been that way for... It's not grape season yet. It's not... But definitely grain, that's the grain now, it's ripest. It's under the grain harvest. Now, then we go to Chodesh HaShvi, what we call Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, back to the Modim with dates, and then we have Sukkot, two presentations of Sukkot in the seventh month. First one is the Mikra Kodesh, and the second one with Dalet Minim, it's a whole shiur on Parshat Emor. And then at the end, we have another reason for Sukkot. You sit in Sukkot 7 days. Every Ezrach has to sit in Sukkot because a Ger doesn't need to, and Ezrach needs to know at least. All the other ones are Chukatom Dotechem. It's always Kezrach Kager. All the other Chukat Olams are going to be giving another Chukat Olam. And also on Shabbat Shabbaton on Yom Kippur. Shabbat Shabbaton B'chom Shvotechem. Yeah. In Pasuk Aleph you have B'chom Shvotechem. But when it comes to, and also in Yom Kippur, but when it comes to Sukkot, it's what do you call it? You don't have Chut Alam B'chom Shvotechem on Sukkot. Why? Because you're living in Sukkot, so you don't have Moshvotechem. Instead of Moshvotechem, you have Sukkot Teshvu Shiva Tevin. Understand? All the other ones say Chukat Olam B'chom Moshvotechem.
Can you account for why the four ones are all Shabbosom?
What?
Why the two right. ones here?
All the holidays, they're Mikrei Kodesh, Modim, which have to do with the moon and history. They're also Shabbatonim, which have to do with nature.
Only for the four ones.
But Shavuot
and Sukkot are all called Shabbosom.
And so is Shavuot.
No.
The theme of Shabbat.
Not in Emor.
In Emor, Sheva Shabbatot.
But it's not called Shabbosom.
But the concept of Shabbat is there. Shabbaton and Shabbat is the same idea. We have a theme of Sheva Shabbatot to Motiyana.
Can you go so far as to say that as the Miyom Macharei Shabbos?
Listen, it's unclear what Shabbos to begin with. But the rabbis decided, Chumash, you can't figure out from Chumash when to start counting the Omer on a lunar calendar. There's no way. Chumash, there is no Pshat in Chumash. Chumash is telling you, connect them together. Rabbis, you decide what to do. The rabbis picked the 16th because the Omer began falling on the 16th of the month. The original Omer. Remember, on the 15th we ran out of food. The Omer started falling. Remember, the first Sunday was a Monday. The first Sunday in our history was the day the month fell. Okay? And the first Shabbos was the 22nd. That was the whole Shabbos experience began with the month. And the month started falling on the 16th of the month. It's Mufarash. And therefore, Chazal decided we'll come on the 16th. A month later, but at least on the 16th of the month. I think they're right on the mark. But Chumash, I can't read Chumash to figure out when to do it, because You can't do it because that's my point. Chumash are principles. Chumash, the rabbis, you decide when to celebrate, how to celebrate it. It's not like I have to figure out from Chumash. Now, I can maybe see this from Mazi, maybe, but God leaves that up to us. That's, you know, that's Katanalim. That's Katanalav. We decide that, and whatever we decide, he agrees with. That's the Rabbah Shemayim. It's not that I'm trying to read Chumash to figure out what the best day to do it is. I'm driving the principles, and let's pick a meaningful day. I can pick it on a Sunday. I can pick it on the first day of Yom. It makes more sense to do it on the 16th of the month, right after. And remember, I want to bring it as soon as possible. Everyone's waiting for the grain. So I want the earliest possible is the first day of Sukkot. The first day of Chol HaMoed. So for Tichon Tzibur, I have to do it that way. I think that's the main reason. Not the Sukkim, the Machmer too much.
Which is why they have to gauge the readiness of
that's why you can't have Pesach until it's Aviv. Yeah. That's baking has to make sure it's really spring. Yeah. That's Shmor Chodesh Aviv, which is right here. Okay, our time's almost up. So then we have then we count to 7 weeks, and then we have Shemitah. I mean, we have what do you call it? We have Shavuot. Now it makes sense for sure it's Shavuot. And then, but now we have a new law, what we call Sfirat Omer. But Sfirat Omer is adding a new element and relating our grain harvest to the month story. And that's what Moshe explains back in Sefer Dvarim, in Perachet. Remember V'zachatem Kol HaDerach, that you were in the desert, 40 years in the desert? Remember that whole thing? Take a look in Perachet. Yeah, we have to finish up. In Perachet, in Dvarim, Dvarim, Perachet. Everything I just told you is all in Moshe says. Remember, keep all the laws I'm commanding you, so you'd be worthy of inheriting the land. Perachet and Dvarim. Okay? And Pasuk Bet, V'zachar to call Derech Asher Holech Hazeh Abayim Shana Bamidbar, to test you, okay, to tone if you're going to follow his laws. Then Gimel. V'yinchav ha'erivach ha'echet ha'man asher lo yadata, lo yadam patech l'man ha'odiach ha'lech l'vano yichi adam. The desert was a training experience, getting ready to be God's people. Not just ready for Sinai, ready for the dangers of the land of Israel as far as prosperity goes. There's a danger in prosperity, because it can lead you astray. I don't have to bring examples. Okay? And then he says, what he got? Why did I give you a hard time in the desert? Why did I give you a hard time bringing you up? Because I'm bringing you to a good land. And then Pasuk Yud Aleph, why? Pen tocha v'savata. ובתים טובים תבנה וישבת ובכך וצריך ביון וחסר ויבה מאוד ורם לבבך ושכחת. The danger of prosperity. So what's the classic religion about keeping poor? And they'll stay religious. But Chumash doesn't say that. But there's a danger of all these things. And that's why God gave you the man. And you can sign. המחלך המן במדבר אשר לא ידון אבטך. Remember why I gave you the man. How do I remember how God gave you the man? I talk about Omer every day of my grain harvest. Then, and then Diamat Belvadaka Koch Vatsimedia Satakhailasa. What's the solution? The Zakhartik Yashabek Huratanha Koch Vatsatkhayo. The Malakimit Brito Ashanish Bala Bataka. God gave you the ability to be prosperous, to fulfill the brit, because you have to be a nation that's prosperous to be God's nation. But in your prosperity, remember why God gave you prosperity and the society you have to build. And based on that, your application, that you see all through Mishpatim and Devarim, God will bless your land. So therefore, God wants you to be somebody. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be like Boaz. But Boaz, who takes care of Naomi and Ruth. And Yosef is bouncer. You know there's a bouncer? Boaz has a bouncer. His field is open. There's all these grain crashers. There's wedding crashers waiting during harvest season. Right. And there's bouncers there to make sure they don't overdo it. And he's complaining to Boaz about Ruth. She's taking too much. Remember? Right. And what's he tell her? Leave her alone. Give her more and let her go with that. Yeah, she has protection. Yeah. Now the only other time you have Omer in Chumash, you have Omer one time by the, you know, in Devarim. The Omer is the name for the leftovers we leave for the poor people. We're calling it Omer because we're leaving over for the poor, because when we didn't have food, God gave us Omer, and now we're like God and we leave over Omer for the poor. And the next time you have Omer in Tanakh is Megillat Rut, because she's taking Omerim. And Boaz says even between not just the broken cookie, she gets the full cookie she can have. That's it. This one last thing for Shavuot. I guess we didn't do this, but this is all sharing. I shouldn't give away in a minute. I thought we did it, but the laws of, if I want to relive Mamad Har Sinai, then I should have I should gather every 7 years, remember, to relive Har Sinai. I should do it in Mount Sinai and eat manna for the weeks beforehand. Remember, manna is preparation for Har Sinai. Now, I don't need to go to Har Sinai because I took Har Sinai with us, and that's the Mishkan, which later becomes the Mikdash. Mm-hmm. And what do we do? Hakel. In the Mikdash. But when do we do Hakel? At the end of the Shemitah cycle, every 7 years. Mm-hmm. And Hakel laws are just like, Shemitah laws are just like Omer, the seven, every Balkori gets mixed up. It's seven cycles of 7 and 50, and the next door neighbor's on Chumash. Now, so I have Har Sinai. How am I going to recreate the man experience in preparation for Har Sinai? Remember, the man is l'mana and ascend the Torah to Imlo. How do I create mana? How do I get mana again? So if you follow the laws of Shemitah, that's how we recreate mana experience for the nation. Because in the Shemitah year, at the end of the Shemitah year, right, you're supposed to eat the produce of the land. It's a mitzvah to eat it. But the produce belongs to everybody. Not to God, and not to you. It's everybody. And there's produce everywhere in July, August, September, in the end of the Shemitah year. There's tons of food on the ground. I don't eat last year's food. There's tons growing wild. And it's all out there, and you can't take it. And if there's enough for everybody, then the animals eat it. But you can't take it. You can only take, what's the halacha? 2 or 3 meals a day. That's it. Remember? Sound familiar? You can only take as much as you need, day by day. So the laws of Shemitah recreate the man experience in preparation for Hakel. Got it? Which makes that. But then I'd expect that Chumash Semer would tell you that there's a connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai. Which and that's why it's right after the laws of Omer, isn't it? Bahar's Perchav Hey. There's an interlude in Perchav Dal.
Perchav Dal really is.
Well, but I think Perchav Dal has something to do with grain. Shtei Lechem?
Yeah, but no, not Shtei Lechem.
You're talking about the insert. You're talking about laws from Mishpatim.
Four paragraphs. And it's you can make a case for the.
And those four paragraphs of Parshat Mishpatim repeated, aren't they? Look at them. The Parshat Mishpatim repeat.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say Parshat Kudei.
Those four, they're copy paste. Take a look at them. Look in Perachav Dalet. Look in Parsha Mishpatim. Look in Perachav Dalet. After we have the Shtei Lechem and the Menorah.
Not the
Shtei Lechem. You have Shtei Lechem. Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim. You have grain. You have the rest of your grain. You have your olives, the Menorah, and you have your grain.
How did it come from the Menorah?
What?
How did it come from the Menorah?
I think you use olive oil.
And
Amor. Olive oil.
Okay, that's
so cold, yeah. And then look at, then we have, what do we have at the end?
And the rest of Mishpatim.
Then you have the rest of Mishpatim, right? It's copy-paste from Mishpatim. It's Ein Tachat Ein again, isn't it? Right? And that's my whole point. Mishpatim and the holidays go hand in hand. Because if you have Mishpatim, based on that, God will give you grain. And then I get to reliving Har Sinai with Shemitah here. It actually makes sense. Anyway, that's our, what do you call it? Now we can eat mazonot for a little bit. That was too much for one day. But I thought we did the Omer Shir before. I got tons of source sheets here if you want.
A source sheet on Omer Shir.
All the Shemitah and Omer stuff is here if you want it.
I think you did do that.
I'm sure I did that, sir.
But Man and...
I did it before. Shemitah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sometimes it's just... I'm with you, Manny. You shame, I don't know.
He says, you don't show a menu, there's no menu. You don't have any luxuries. But they have
a menu.
I make the case.